All right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Testor, a writer of names and flavor text for Wizards of the Coast and articles at Gathering Magic. With me, as always, interrupting me in a very sensuous whisper this time, as always, the one and only master of weens, Mr. Mike Linneman.
I'm here for the snacks. So this is the first show post-Vegas.
Okay, so full disclosure, for all of the listeners who were wondering what the F we were referencing for the longest time, where we were like, we have things coming soon, we have something coming soon, and we mention it. It was the art show. Like, especially for Mike was working his butt off to get the art show not only off the ground, but then once he got the go ahead to actually get the stuff done.
Make it not terrible.
Right.
Like, that was the goal. Like, make it not terrible.
Like, it was a massive amount of work for Mike on his end. And then on my end, I got slammed with like multiple sets that I had to work on. So we had like a solid month where we just couldn't do anything.
47 days to be exact. Is literally when the thing got final approval.
If you've been wondering where we have been, that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, so we're gonna be coming back to weekly a lot more often, and just because it's needed. There's just so much to cover now with sets flying out the door so quick, and also because the 25th anniversary is right on the corner. So there's a lot of things that we got to get out before those things drop that are a little longer than a post, a little longer than a Tumblr write up, and I think here's an easy way to do it. That was fantastic. We did a live Snack Time show, which was really, really neat at Grand Prix Las Vegas.
I think, and I need to confirm this, I don't know if it's true or not, but I think that all of the panels were recorded by Channel Fireball are going to be posted. So if you guys want to see that, I'll try to put a link. If you're a patron, I'll try to put the link in our Patreon page. Otherwise, Mike and I will probably just tweet it out. So if you're fans of the show and you want to see our
We won't tweet it out soon. I mean, we'll send it to the patrons first, and then, you know, we'll wait a little while and then wait a little while. Hopefully you don't forget, and then we'll, you know, do it.
But anyway, ultimately, if you're a fan of the show and you weren't in Vegas and you didn't get a chance to see Mike and I, you know, yell at each other live, and you missed me eating a banana, check it out.
That was pretty sweet, P.S. Okay, but that's not why we're here today. Today is for something different. We got some taste. We got some flavor. So we got double down on preview cards here. Mainly because the Eternalized thing is so flavorful. I mean, it's just oozing with it. And so each of us have a flavor gem today. Ant, do you want to go first on this?
Yeah. I'll go first. So I have this card. It's called Sinuous Striker. It's a 3-cost... 2-colorless and a blue creature, Naga Warrior, and it's a 2/2. It says pay 1 blue mana, Sinister or Sinuous Striker gets +1/-1 until the end of turn, so classic blue ability, and then it has Eternalize for 5 and discard a card. And so as we, you know, have talked about before, and as I'm sure everyone knows by now, Eternalize means that this is going to come back as a token that is a zombie and black and also a 4/4. So it's going to improve and make that ability to go +1/-1 a lot more relevant, because then you can get this sucker up to be a 7/1.
Right.
You know, if needed.
If needed. I mean, this is like the OG Breath Stealer, if you know your Mirage references.
Yes.
Of the 3 cards that make Spirit of the Night, the OG Boom Boom. Like, who didn't try to make that, like, casual style? It was the best. It honestly was the best card ever.
What were the 3? It was Breath Stealer, it was Urborg Panther, and Feral Spirit, right?
Feral Spirit, Feral Stalker. Feral Shadow.
Feral Shadow, that's it.
It's a Cliff Nielsen. Cliff.
Yeah. And the art for the Spirit of the Night is, like, a combination of body parts from all 3 of the things that it's made of.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's also Cliff Nielsen. It's just a really, really fun piece. It's
it's really cool,
real neat. Anyway, so that's the ability of it. And is this card good?
Yeah, well, so regardless, doesn't matter. What I love about this card is not only the name, which is really alliterative, but also it sounds like some, like it sounds like a snake, like Sinuous Striker. There's a lot of S sounds in it that really give it that kind of like hissing tone that I really like on a Naga. And what I also find interesting is that this, so this, for those of you who don't know, is a female Naga. And the way that you can tell whether a Naga is male or female in Amonkhet is that the males have these prominent, like, cobra-esque hoods. So I'll just use Ronus as, like, the prime example. He's got this huge cobra hood. And the females lack the hood, but they have a more pronounced, like, neck and back muscle. So, like, they have this kind of hunched but strong look to them that makes them more powerful in combat and and less likely for you to understand where they're coming from, because they strike more like a snake. And so I think that that plays really nicely into not only the name but the combat mechanic of being able to shift power and toughness and, you know, not really know what you're facing until it's too late.
I like how the woman Naga is doesn't have a hood, so not in the hood, so they're in the suburbs or something. I think that's cute. I like the Eternalize of this. I think it's such a great, you know, 3-drop 2/2 is not good, but in limited, this is a very good card with huge upside. I mean, this is an uncommon for a reason. You get a bunch of these in Wool. I mean, every time they die, you got three, you know, for five, so three blue, discard a card, which discard a card is significant.
Yeah, very significant, for sure. But I think the reason that it's significant is because a lot of people underestimate this blue ability of being able to shift your power and toughness around, you know, more or less at will. Like, you have to remember that, you know, this card is normally a 2/2, but it's a 3/3 when you need it to be. It's a 1/4 when you need it to be. And, like, in limited, that carries a lot of weight. And to be able to bring it back and have enough options where you can take this from being a 7/1 to a 1/7.
No. It doesn't go the opposite way around, Tommy.
What do you mean?
It just goes +1, -1. It doesn't go -1, +1.
Oh, shoot. You're right. I'm so used to usually it's printed with both.
You know how good that would be?
Usually when you see this, it's on like some kind of illusion or like fog monster, and it's able to do both. Oh, you're right. It can only go up.
Which is why what you'd want to do is do a pump spell on the token and then just make it enormous, give it trample.
Right. I mean, you do it nuts.
Yeah, that's why you do blue, red situation, and I mean, then it just gets boom boom, like 7/1 or even bigger with trample, just dumb. So this is also one of the third card using the term sinuous, the other two being Sinuous Predator, which is the flip side of the Kessig Prowler, you know, the 1-drop 2/1 werewolf, and it transforms into the 4/4 menace. It can't be blocked by 1/1 creature. It's like opposite menace. And then obviously Sinuous Vermin, which is my favorite rat horror of all time. But I like this idea that these low cost things have this high upside. I think that's such a fantastic ability that, you know, you can put them in weird decks, like a commander deck, especially like a power down 1DH, or Dollar General, as they call it, because a 5-drop discard a card, I mean, that enables madness, that enables a variety, like 5-drop discard a card. Maybe that gets a boom boom into the yard and you're going to reanimate with somehow, you know?
Right.
And then a 4/4, my God, it's just so strong. It's so strong to get that thing out there, and I love it. And it keeps everything of the original thing, so all about it. Love the blue in the token. I think it looks super nice. The
Lazatep?
Yeah, the glowy, like, pieces around, like, the gold bands in the top one. Yeah. And in the bottom one, it really glows. Like, the gold really stands
It's really, really hyped up.
I dig it. It also looks like hoop earrings in the bottom one. I'm like, it's a woman Naga, right? Clever.
Right. In case you didn't already know, right?
Yeah. In case you didn't know, notice also that it has like red, like there's banners in the background.
Oh, Mike! No. All right, I'm gonna talk about that in a minute. But let's go over your card, and then we'll come back.
Okay. So I got my card, Proven Combatant, 1-drop 1/1. That's it. It's just a human warrior, 1-drop 1/1, like your boys from Kamigawa. No. It's got Eternalize for 6, which is a billion mana. But if you need a 1/1, not so bad if you need to pull out on your curve. But if you got a 1/1 and you need to sacrifice it for something, I could see like a blue, black, sacrifice, whatever. And then late game, you get a 4/4 out of it, limited. That is really strong.
This card is super weird in blue, isn't it?
It's super weird in blue. You get one drop, 1/1s in blue, though. That does exist.
Yeah.
But to have the ability of...
But to turn into a 4/4. Like, that's what I've never seen anything like that in blue before. Like, the one drop for 1/1, I get. And usually they have something like a looter ability or maybe flying or, you know, whatever, unblockable. But this one, like, becomes a 4/4.
Yeah, like, early game, you need it for a blocker or a sac outlet or something. And then late game, when all of a sudden you have a ton of mana, you're countering things... You know, you have this giant dude to help fill up after, like, all right, I got counter magic open. Okay, it's my turn. I need to start attacking them now. Or really notable is that, you know, you could both their team and then, you know, cast the second main phase or something of the sort. I really like that part of it, that upside that makes me look sideways and be like, oh, it's not just a 1/1 for one. It's
right.
How do I evaluate this?
Do you know what my favorite part of this card is?
Why?
The flavor text. You want to know why?
Why?
Because it's a hint. It's a subtle hint to the player. Like, it says it's not wise to keep glory waiting, right? Which is totally on theme with the setting of Amonkhet. But right. It's also kind of hinting at you, the player, saying, like, look, man, throw this thing out, let it chump something, and then you get the real power later.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's a good nod.
Yeah.
It's a good nod. I like the art. If you look at it close, it makes an X. You know, as you see the two pillared, the pillared hallway converge really at this human warrior's like belt. It's called a vanishing point. You see these on like horizons. But there's both of them down. Usually you do this in art class to learn about how the human eye sees space.
Right.
But as you see that, you see like all these dead mummies in the background. That's kind of cool.
It makes me think of The Departed, that X.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
You know what I mean? Totally. Like it's like this thing's going to die and that's your hint.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I mean, it points right in front of you. Right. But you get to see, you know, these floating hedrons. I don't know what they are. And they're
obelisks.
You're sure. The floaty ones. And they continue in the bottom part. But in the bottom part, it's not the dead mummies, it's the dead humans.
Yes.
Which is a great, like, flip. That's so a fun
That's my art favorite direction. Thing about most of the eternalized creatures, and that's exactly what I meant when I said we were going to come back to the Naga, is that if you look at the Naga version, in the background, it's water. In the Sinuous Striker, right? It's just the water from the river pouring into one of the temples, and then when you look at its token, it's blood red because the river turned to blood.
Yep.
Right. So in all of these, you couldn't really see it in our snack time preview token, but in many of the eternalize cards, the token version is post Hour of Revelation, like post all the bad stuff going down.
Yeah,
and the card that represents them before they were dead is like just prior. So it's this neat little window into what was happening right before and what happened right after. You know, in like story, not
right.
immediately, but you get the idea. Like, proven combatant was a proven combatant, and it's assumed that this individual made it all the way to the end, got the, you know, worthy spear of Hazoret, and then, you know, what's its reward? Well, in the Hour of Devastation, it's a zombie human warrior that's just kicking some butt instead of kicking some mummy butt.
I can dig that. It's great. I mean, we'll post some extra images that we, you know, got from the artist about our preview that we had over snack time at GP Vegas. I got all his sketches, which are really, really cool. It's just so you can see how an artist built, constructed the scene, even with the thumbnails. So we'll post that in the bottom too, just so you can check it out. And I like this mechanic. I think it's a fantastic thing. I can't wait to see what it is at higher rarities. Because these things are cool, they're good. I mean, for a casual player, these are fantastic hits. For these tokens, I want to collect the tokens now.
I do.
I was going through the GP and literally looking at the free stacks for tokens because I realize there's going to be people that 5 years from now are going to try to get one of these token sets, and it's going to be really
it's
going to
be
really
tough.
Hard.
Yeah, because they're
really
so
hard.
Specific, right? There's it's so not like many. A 3/3 beast, you know?
Exactly, and there's a bajillion of them.
Yeah.
So being able to get like a full set will be a thing.
Yeah. So like I really liked Embalm, but for whatever reason, Eternalize, I like it so much more. And it's really not that different. You know, like it's just they become a 4/4 and it's
but
black.
It's the value. It's the upgrade. Yeah. Before it's like, oh, I get a little bit to reuse it, but this is like, no, I actually am going to plan for this beef.
Right.
Which just hasn't happened before, or you need like a black creature somehow. You know, maybe you're playing your normal alpha copy of what is it called, a bad moon, and you need a black right. creature to get your +1/+1 as you would to get that in there. I'm all about it. That then and now, before, after is cool. And I think a lot of the gifts that are going to pop up from this that do the overlays, I think right. are a really good addition to Magic. I think it's a great way to peer into how an art director builds a scene and how an artist works with them to succeed at that.
Oh, and you know, these would be great candidates for anyone out there who animates cards.
Oh yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Like just showing the transition, especially yours, like going from that ready pose of, hey, I just took out a whole bunch of target mummies, right? And then like ending in that superhero just like slam pose on the ground.
Yep, it's straight up the thing they made fun of in Deadpool. Like yeah, the superhero jump, it 100% is. And I like that because it's this illusion that it's so much stronger than it originally was. Like, you know, there's certain poses that fit that. Right. Plus, you get to see more of the Lazotep on them. In the Striker, you get to see a little bit, but over here in this Proven Combatant one, you really see how it, like, layers on top. It's almost crustacean looking.
It is. That's really fascinating to me as well, because when you look at their skulls, it looks like it's almost bonded directly to the bone.
Yeah.
In like a Wolverine adamantium kind of style, but as you look over their body, it looks much more like some kind of a plating or something, you know, like that. Especially if you look down his spine, or like it's interesting how much it looks like armor.
Right. Or it's intentional, because if you did it flat, it might look awkward. You know,
just
it's
like skeleton. Do you mean if it's bones?
It's a blue zombie, right? Like it would look like if Innistrad's blue zombies, you know, the scabs versus the what are the other ones called? The ghouls, I guess. Ghoul collars made ghouls.
Yeah, ghouls and
you
scabs.
Know, it's not like one of they're gonna paint one of them blue, and you're like, oh, that's the other one. You know, that's just. Right. I mean, you're like, oh, it's a blue zombie. It's blue. Like it's 1994 again, right? Blue border, blue color, blue everything. But I really like seeing this thing. I would love to see more of this scene and place it in the city, because we get to see the pyramid behind Proven Combatant get blowed up.
Right.
And the Striker, we get to see, obviously, this is some sort of corner. I don't know which corner it is, but
it can be anywhere. It could be in like any temple or anything like that.
Sure, but these are the type of dudes that you can place them in an exact point of time, because the legendaries don't need to necessarily be in locations, whereas these little darks, you know, they could be, and that could be really cool.
Yeah.
And Clint and Shvetlin Velenov both did a great job. Good usage of light, good usage of change of sketch, good uses of perspective. Just well-made images that you'll look and be like, oh yep, that's the thing.
Yeah, but I gotta imagine that like making these Eternalize tokens is harder than it looks, because you know, on one hand it has to look like this hard carapace like plate armor, but on the other hand it has to look like it was made out of a gemstone, like some kind of sapphire-esque, or like what is the L Lazi, I can never remember how to pronounce this, like Lapul Lazi or whatever it is, the blue gemstone. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Lapis lazuli. If you go to Berlin, they have the Ishtar Gate made out of all of it from Babylon. But, you know, I haven't been there. No big deal.
But there's like not a lot of, you know, armor made out of that stuff to reference, you know, so like.
Well, why would there be? It's a gem.
Exactly. That's exactly like my point. But like, as an artist, how do you even begin to attempt to paint something like that? Like, that's got to be pretty difficult. So and they both killed it.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with this. Like, both digital, both really well done. like Clint's Proven Combatant, like Warrior Human. Like, it's good lighting. It's bright. It feels kind of like Dan Scott. But it's clear. You can totally tell what's going on, even at card size being tiny. And that's hard. That's really hard to do. So, and anything else you got on both of these beasts?
That's all I got, man. Play them. They're good cards.
Wham. Well, one thing I do want to mention about these two, if you are going to be making some flavor, some taste for decks, these are both warriors. So obviously you can play on the warrior themes. And if you're looking for ever deck building thing, you know, we got a hype. Cool Stuff Inc.'s deck builder. It is honestly the best one out there, bar none. I'll make a deck in Vintage Artist. I'll throw it in the deck builder. And since they have all the options and all the conditions, you can pick exact versions with clicks. It's like click, 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 click. Nope, I need the Odyssey version, not the Plane Shift. Or I need the Plane Shift, not the 7th edition foil. And it's just click, 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 and you're done. It's the fastest, most efficient thing ever. Yeah, it just brings me great delight when I'm making flavorful decks. Or Dollar Commander decks, because, you know, you can pop them all at the same time. And then they have a good rewards program to go with it. But, you know, we do actually use this tool, even though we're talking and working for Gathering Magic, too, which is owned by Cool Stuff. We totally use it all the time. So for people that don't know, we're going to put a link to it. It's fantastic. Ant?
Yes.
This has been fun. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to get back to some normal, flavorful things in the near future.
Oh, definitely.
We're going to be doing a little more encompassing art review soon with Ant and I. Stay tuned for that. But other than that, I mean, thanks for stopping by today, watching us. Ant, where can they find you?
So if they want to find me, they can go to my website at antestator.com or on Twitter at antestator.
All right. And to find me, come to GP Minneapolis in August, obviously, because it's my hometown and all the known associates will be here cubing and having fun, as we often did, hanging out with artists, as we do. And you can find me at Vorthos Mike. I'm super easy to find online. Just write my first name and then attempt last or put Vorthos in and you find me. Thanks for watching today, and we'll be back next week.